Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance back together. Well, not really. I'm in Green Bay, and I'll be heading out to practice as soon as I'm done here. Just 3 hours for me today, because I'm going to be like all the other lazy people at this station and just work 3 hours. And go out to practice, see what's going on, see if Whitney Merciless can beat David Bakhtiari or Will Fuller. Or how Roby can cover Devontae Adams. Let's see how that works out. So this is the first time I think we'll get a real idea of where the Texans are in their weakest spots. Because Lance, let's face it, Lance, you know, in practice, yeah, you know, you're going against your own guys. Some of it gets heated, but it's limited how much stuff you do, you know, really going full steam. This will be a pretty good indication of where guys are on that offensive line and a corner.
I mean, honestly, to me, joint practices, I feel like joint practices carry as much and potentially more value than the preseason games.
Yeah.
It gives you a chance. It's you get reps for number ones. You get reps on good versus good, bad versus bad in some instances. And then it's controlled. So the coach is going to control it if anything gets. And now we'll get a little, typically because it's not a game setting, it will get a little feistier in some of the practices. So, you know, there are some negatives there because some coaches don't have control of their teams and it gets, you know, Cowboys always are fighting constantly, but because they don't have control of their team. But I think it's great that they do this. I think it's great. I booked a ticket, but I may cancel. I'm considering going to I got a business meeting anyway, so I may go down and watch Colts versus Browns just for a day on the 14th and go watch them scrimmage each other because those are the two teams, I mean, that have a lot of buzz in the AFC this year, obviously. The Colts after last year, and I don't know. I'm just not entirely sold on the Colts. I've seen this before. You jump out of nowhere. No one's expecting it. But when the bullseye's on your back, it's just a little different. It's a little different, and Luck right now is out, you know, and it's supposedly not a good deal, but let's see.
Yeah, well, that's an issue. I mean, the calf is an issue. And I think, Kevin Durant is a cautionary tale, and I think they're going to take it as slow as possible. But I don't think he needs – and I don't know that they came out of nowhere, really, because with Andrew Luck back – you know, that was a team that had been to the AFC Championship game before.
Whoa, I mean,
we know what Andrew Luck is
We
know what Andrew Luck is capable of, though.
Yeah, but still, John, they were last. I mean, they were one of the lowest odds teams in all of football last year. They were at the very, very bottom. That is out of nowhere. And the other thing was, Luck hadn't really been healthy for 2 years. I mean, he was beat up the last time he had played. He didn't even play football last year. So,
and I think that's the point. And since the Texans have been a franchise, when the Colts have had a healthy Manning or Luck, have they missed the playoffs? No matter how their roster's been built?
No. And part of it is because this has just been such a blah conference. I mean, a blah division.
I get that. But to John's point, for whatever reason, now the reason is those two, Luck and Manning, are really good quarterbacks. The Colts, built around those two, when those two can play, they're fine. Now, what level of fine that is as far as championship contender, we can debate that, but they make the playoffs when they are healthy.
Right. Did it surprise you all that much that they were
good last year? I know how their roster. The roster wasn't good.
See, I wasn't surprised at all.
I've been there the last 2 years. The roster was an atrocity 2 years ago. Honestly, it was so much worse than the Texans. Well, the Texans didn't have a bad roster. Texans had a pretty decent roster. Let me rephrase that. Texans are average to below average in the middle. They were not good at the back end, and they were good at the front end, right? The Colts weren't good at the front end. They had no blue players other than T.Y. Hilton is the only one you consider a blue player. The rest of them, none, zero. 2 years ago. Last year, they had a rookie in Quentin Nelson. They had T.Y. back. They scrapped with the Texans with a bunch of nobodies at wide receiver. Luck really was coming off of a severe shoulder injury. He had to be completely reconstructed with Tom House. Like, it was a major – there was concern that he would never be a good quarterback again. Major concern in their building because of how bad the shoulder was. So, yeah, I didn't expect Andrew Luck. First of all, they don't have great corners. Their safeties were beat up. They have some issues. What you didn't see coming was two all-pro – like, I don't know that this has happened in history. Two all-pro –
Rookies.
Not Pro Bowl. All pros.
Pro.
And, and you could have argued both of them won Rookie of the Year. You could have at least made the argument. I mean, Quentin Nelson wasn't going to win it. But so, yeah, it did come out. I didn't see two all-pro rookies. I saw one, but I didn't see Darius Leonard going all-pro. I didn't see the comeback from Andrew Luck the way it did. And remember, it started the second half against the Texans. The Texans are the get-well secondary. Everybody can get well off the Texans secondary. But, yeah, I think the Colts were helped out by the Jags being terrible, Titans not being very good, and then the Texans just can't cover T.Y. Hilton. They never have, and they never will. I think that was very beneficial, and that's my point, John. I'm not sold on the Colts as this team that's ready to dominate. I still don't think their roster's there, but we'll see. I mean,
I'm going the other way. I'm going to tell you this. I think the Chiefs are going to fall off a little bit. First of all, their defense is a suspect at best, and I don't know that Pat Mahomes can possibly, but even he doesn't even have to throw 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. But anything less, and they don't have Kareem Hunt, although Damian Williams is fine. Everybody's the Chiefs. Obviously the Patriots, but at some point. That has to slow down a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Colts aren't representing the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Well, the other team I mentioned, the Browns, are the team that's got all the, they've got a lot of buzz, and they do have talent now. You're talking about Myles Garrett, Odell, Jarvis Landry, Baker. My dad went up to camp. My dad was in Canton for Kevin Mawai invited him up to the Hall of Fame induction. And so my dad was up in Ohio and went by the Browns practice. That's the site of his first NFL job, was with Butch Davis and the Browns. And so he went up to practice and went and talked to Freddie. He and Freddie Kitchens are good friends, and talked to Freddie. And then Freddie introduced him to the play. He watched practice, and, he spent some time talking to Jarvis and Odell Beckham Baker, and he knows Baker Mayfield's dad. So they were talking a little bit. If he came away very impressed with, he goes, I got to tell you, those guys were super respectful. He said, I was talking to them. He goes, they're very sharp. We talked some football. He said, Odell and Baker especially, he said, just not only really sharp, but he said, really great to talk to. He said, he was watching the whole time. They had no attitude with any of their interactions. And he said, all that stuff that you hear about, he said, that's, very well may be the case, but he didn't have any of that with his interactions. But he was pretty impressed with what he saw with the Browns. So, we say all that, and I know this is Houston. We're supposed to talk about the Texans. We say all that because if the Texans won the division last year, and it feels like they're just miles away right now. But you'll see, you'll get a chance to see. I mean, that's an okay Packer team. Everyone's always, anytime you have Aaron Rodgers, and that's been a big buzz too, John. I'm sure you'll hear about that. The fact that people are now saying, or they're starting to say, Aaron Rodgers is overrated. He's not one of the top five quarterbacks. It came up because his Madden ratings were lower. When you really look at it, over the last 3 years, Aaron Rodgers has not been the same quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see how the secondary holds up in the one-on-one stuff, and then how the Texans compete against the Green Bay Packers. I do think you'll see Will Fuller shine. I've heard some good things about him at camp.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, like you said, I don't know that they're not all that great a football team. I want to see the Texans secondary more important. And we know what Will Fuller can do. Right. The key to Will Fuller is staying healthy.
Yep.
I think he's going to be just fine. He's really good. They're a much better team if he and Kiki QT can stay healthy. I'm interested to see whether or not they can cover anybody, whether or not they can run with anybody. See if the Packers have somebody outside Devontae Adams that will put some pressure. on the secondary. That's going to be awfully important. I want to see whether or not they can rush the passer without Jadeveon Clowney. Where is that coming from? JJ inside and DJ Reader and all that is fine. I think inside the Texans are awesome. Bernardrick McKinney right up the middle, Justin Reed up the middle, the Texans, and on the outside, you know, that's where they're going to get beat. And I want to find out today, you know, whether or not they're going to be able to run with anybody, or they're going to have to play cover two with gigantic holes in the secondary and playing a zone all the time, or whether or not they can play man-to-man with nobody over the top.
Well, you know what? One of the things you mentioned about pass rush, yeah, I'm just not hopeful for Whitney Mercilus, but I hope to be surprised by Whitney Mercilus. But I am interested in Brennan Scarlett. I've always felt like he brings a lot of energy as a rusher. Every time he's had opportunities in the preseason, he has really flashed. He's healthy. So I'm really interested to see. I know he's getting Clowney's reps. I'm really interested to see how Brennan Scarlett holds up as a pass rusher, because I do think he and Duke Ejiofor could become two guys who end up, you know, becoming big parts of the Texans pass rush in the future. Neither one of them has a tremendous amount of juice. I think Brennan Scarlett has more off the edge. So I still think if Jadeveon's gone next year, which I think it's looking more and more likely, then that is going to, all of a sudden, that one's going to move up to the forefront of what you're looking for as well, because pass rusher is always a critical, critical position. But Whitney and Scarlett and anybody else off the edge, I'm interested to see if you see anybody that kind of flashes a little bit. John is live at camp. Well, he'll be at camp in Green Bay.
Surprisingly, they're not letting me broadcast from camp.
Yeah, that's
something that I didn't see coming.
Who is it that's blocking you? Did the Packers just say you can't?
No. There's another team that's involved. It's called the Texans.
And they block you?
Well, they can't. Yeah, you can't. We can't broadcast.
You can block?
Yes.
Why didn't you use your...
They did that in New Orleans with us.
Why don't you use your Chicago and say, I'm from a Chicago station. And they'll say, we know you, Granato.
Nah, well, they don't want... The Packers said no Chicago stations up here.
Yeah, you're right.
So I had I could have said, well, don't forget, I was worked up here in Green Bay. You know, I packed my bags and I came up here, and here I am.
And 790 okay. tried to sign everybody who works for the Astros to their own show, so we couldn't get interviews with anybody. Like, Jeff Blum's got his own show now, because he's on our. Julio Morales has her own show. Oh, about.
You're paying him?
Yeah.
Paying,
what about this? They got their own show. Hurry up, sign them to a show. Like they're rushing to sign people to shows so no one
Aaron can Sanchez has a show now.
I know. I texted Reed Ryan about coming on. He goes, I'd love to. He goes, why open an interview here at the stadium, but I've got a weekly call in that I'm only allowed to come on. Of course you do. Of course. 790. Reed, we want to give you a show. Well, I mean, golly. Are y'all that scary?
Luno was on the other station, though. We got to get him on.
Yeah, we got to get Luno on. So when we come back, I want to get to a lot of Astros because yeah. I'm out of town in Montreal. So I'm out of town. Well, technically, the Astros won the World Series the night before. I was headed off to New York on a trip, but I go to Quebec City and Montreal. When I come back, the Astros have Zach Greinke, Machete's back. They've got a combined no-hitter. Nobody ever loses. They never, ever lose. And Jose Altuve's hitting 300. Like, what the hell happened before, while I was gone? What the hell
August,
happened was I was gone?
Before August, he was hitting. You know, I know it's going to be hard for him to get there by the season's end. Before August,
I think
he's
going to fall off now. I'm a little worried.
He was 0 for 4 yesterday. But here's the deal is, you know what? You know what's going to make everyone happy in this country? Well, at least in the surrounding area. So if you're listening, you can hear us here. You can clean your carpets. And you say, well, okay. Oh, yeah, how about this? Go see what it costs to replace your carpet. And then tell me you don't want to clean it to make sure that it lasts longer. All of these things. Your furniture will last longer. Your drapes will last longer. You know what it costs to replace those? A lot. You know what? They'll be like new again if you call OOPS. Oops, steam cleaning will steam all of that dirt away, all of that fungus away, all of those germs away. Are you somebody that has a young child that's crawling around, or young, even young children? Listen, they're dropping all kinds of germs all over the place. You need, if you haven't done it in a year, if you haven't cleaned your carpets in a year, it's time. So please go to oopssteam.com, oopssteam.com, 281-822-0561, 281-822-0561. Tell them you heard it right here. Clean your carpet, clean your upholstery, clean your drapes, air ducts, your dryer vent. It's awfully important. Oopssteam.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's hard to come to a team and feel like you can contribute in a way that when they're already so good. So for tonight to end the way they did, these guys coming in behind me and doing their part too. It's like you said, it's been an unbelievable 48 hours, and you know, for today to end like it did, it just, I'm so happy.
That was Aaron Sanchez talking about getting the 6-inning no hitter, followed by Will Harris, Joe Biagini, and Chris Davinsky.
So, right now,
a
just
92 pitch. So,
92 pitches.
Where were you on pulling him?
Okay with pulling him. Okay,
yeah.
With pulling him. Because you know what? Here's my thing. This guy was 3-14 headed into the game. He was considered, now I'm a numbers guy, so I can say this. He had an ERA of over 6 and 14 losses. In our business, in the analytics world, that's considered a low win share.
Those are low,
in my business of analytics, that's a low win share when you have 14 losses and a 6 ERA. And so one of the things that we say in the analytics world is that's also a bad VORP. So it's bad VORP, bad win shares. And so I just kind of felt like, hey, you know what? Give him a strong, he wasn't going to go 9. So if he's not going to go 9, then pull him when he's, you just pulled a guy and he's part of a no hitter. Think about what that did for him.
Well, it one thing for him, he had 13 straight losses coming in, 13 straight losses. So he hasn't felt good about himself. The last time that he had won a baseball game was April 27th.
Do you feel good about your job?
Yeah, he should have felt bad about his job. So here's the deal, and we've seen this before, and you know, and it makes some sense. Let a guy leave a game feeling great.
Yeah.
Don't put him in a position, especially after 92 pitches, don't put him in a position where, oh crap. Now, and because he couldn't have been any better. And he had thrown a lot of pitches through 92 pitches in 6 innings is a lot of pitches. So he was great and did all those things. Let him feel good about himself. Now, he's probably going bemoaning the fact, you know, I'm Aaron Sanchez. That was my one chance ever to throw a major league no-hitter.
He did.
Well, not really.
His name's on no-hitter. Let me tell you what it wouldn't have been on a name of a no-hitter had he kept on going. There's a decent chance he would have given that up.
Yeah, right. Now he is. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Now, but still, I mean, you're the guy out there throwing that no-hitter. It's got to be a little, especially a new. Now, this is the epitome of AJ. AJ will pull you 4 2/3 in if you're scuffling. Yet you've got a lead and you're scuffling and your name's not Verlander or Cole or now Greinke. He will pull you. Now, it's the ultimate sign of AJism when you've got a no-hitter going and he says, okay, I'm pulling you. That I was like, oh, my goodness.
He sticks to process, though. And that's the whole thing about the Astros. The Astros are a process-oriented team from the top to the bottom. When I say a top, Jim Crane, remember when Jim Crane, and I mentioned this on Twitter, because I'm watching all this stuff go down just on my phone, getting roaming charges while I'm in Canada, trying to keep up with all the Astro stuff because there's a lot to keep up with. And I was like, you know, I remember because people were saying this, all this stuff about our Lord and Savior, Jeff Leno, after the Greinke deal and Jim Crane. And I certainly remember, I was not at this station, but I certainly remember when everyone hated Jim Crane because he was the guy that came in, bought the Astros, and then wouldn't spend a bunch of money to make them an 80-win team or a 75-win team. Who gives a crap if you win 75 games? That was a bad team. That they didn't have talent. And people were so mad that he wouldn't go get an average to below average starter, give him a bunch of money. And then on top of that, obviously, a bigger frustration for me. I didn't care about that. I knew, look, this isn't a good team. The process was suck, draft, and rebuild. What really pissed everyone off, which he had no control over, was that bad carriage deal that they couldn't, DirecTV wouldn't carry, pretty much nobody would carry. What was it called? It wasn't Root Sports. It was
Fox Southwest.
Was it? No, it wasn't called. Was it called Fox Southwest?
For a while it was.
Yeah, whatever it was when it was Astros and Rockets, quote unquote, owned it. And Drayton's like, I got you a great deal. Listen to what I did, Jimmy. I have got a TV deal for you. You own a TV station now. Woo! Pew, pew, pew. Look at this. Now give me my money. And he paid him. He goes, well, 1, 2, 3, no backs. That's called no Indian giving.
Oh, like, no. No. Drayton had to give him money back.
Well, no, he eventually did.
Yeah.
He eventually did. No,
it was 1, 2, 3 back. 1, 2, 3, give me my money back. We were talking last week, and I don't know where you are on this, but if you're to rank all of the people in the Astros organization, who's the most important? And I rank Jim Crane, Raheel ranked Jeff Leno. I think it's Jim Crane because you don't make – how many owners in Major League Baseball, oh, great, you can get a Greinke deal, great. And where are you – and Drayton would have said, so you got the money for that or what?
Oh, yeah, Drayton would have just – he would have shut it down immediately.
No. Drayton wouldn't pick up a reliever in 98. And Jerry Hunsaker said, we were a reliever away from winning the World Series, and Drayton wouldn't do it. And
some clutch hitting.
So you pick up $20 million on Verlander. You pick up $20 million on Greinke. Just add that to it, okay? Yeah, Bregman, he's going to get a little lippy. Let's give him $100 million. I mean, the most important person. And, oh, by the way, he's the guy who hired Luno. The most important person, as opposed to what they're doing over on Kirby, where they don't even have a general manager. Don't get me started. But Jim Crane, what he has done, it none of this happens without him given his blessing.
I would argue you're right because Jim Crane, but I remember. Do you remember how much people hated Jim Crane though? That was my original point, is that people really were mad. I mean, I was doing shows with Charlie at the time, so we took a bunch of baseball calls. And even though the Astros weren't good at all, and people were so mad at Jim Crane. They hated Jim Crane, this, that, and the other. My, how things have changed. And the reason I bring it up is because Jim Crane had a process and stuck with it. Jeff Leno has a process. A.J. Hinch has a process. These guys are super process-oriented, and that's why they're here. But to get to the Jim Crane point, man, John, this is the difference between having a huckster who hawks – you know, avocados and red cabbage from Temple, and then you have a guy like Jim Crane who was a baseball player, and everything that Jim Crane says he understands,
he
understands how it works. I mean, he just understands how it works,
and he does it though. Here's the key: I didn't hate Jim Crane when they were losing. He said this is going to be the process.
Right,
we're going to lose. He told us. We're going to lose. We're going to build up the minor league system. We're going to do this the right way. We're not going to just go out and buy players. We're going to do it. And when the time comes, we will spend the money. Now, you don't – the time comes and you're going to spend the money. That's always iffy. You know, oh, okay. I mean, here – I was in Chicago this weekend, and boy, they couldn't be madder at Ricketts, and they can't be madder at the Cubs because this is their window and they're blah, 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 all of these things. And what did they do with the trade deadline and
right. All
this stuff? All that stuff going on. But you can say all you want, this is how we're going to do it. But Jim Crane has done every single thing he said he was going to do. And when it came time to get the best pitcher in the game, he went out and did it. And when it came time to bolster a rotation that needed help and get put another $23 million a year on it. He did it. I mean, it's unfreaking believable. We have got the Golden State Warriors of baseball. We have the Golden State Warriors. You can have your Yankees. I'll take this Astros team. I mean, they did nothing. They were calling Cashman, what was it? He was a zombie. He was zombie-like at the trade deadline. They had a picture of him as a zombie on the New York Post.
Yeah.
While the Astros are killing it. We're the Yankees now. The Astros are the – we have the Yankees. It's the Houston Astros. And that's something we – do you remember ever saying that?
No.
When do you remember the last time –
Never.
Without a doubt.
I've never cheered for the Patriots. I've never cheered for the Yankees. I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing to an extent. So I'm like walking to some. I'm in the middle of walking a bazillion miles, a bazillion steps in Montreal. And all of a sudden, I get a text from Raheel on our Glory Boys text string. And it says something like, Jim Crane's not messing around. I'm like, uh-oh. Because I had been hitting refresh, trying to see, like, what are the Astros doing? Anything? And then, what's it, Toronto's Biagini?
Yeah, Joe Biagini.
Yeah, Biagini, who's hilarious, by the way.
Awesome.
Yeah, but he's our kind of guy. But so that's the deal. I'm like, I mean, okay, that's something that had to happen. Let's see what else happens. And then before you know it, broom, 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 broom. And I see Zach Greinke. I swear to God, this is what I did. I see Zach Greinke. I freak out. I'm all excited. I tell my wife. I call my son Alec and tell him this is a really big deal. You guys need to go get on ESPN and read about this stuff. And then I go to SeatGeek and I pick up tickets for all of us. I don't know any of the rotation. I'm just like, I really need to take the kids to a game. So I go get tickets, and it's for Tuesday's game. And this is the day that they traded for Greinke. And I just saw that there's Tuesday games. Reasonable tickets, and so I went and got tickets for all of us, 6 tickets, which still expensive for Major League Baseball. Now it's Greinke's pitching, and now part of me is thinking about, I could probably flip those tickets.
No, you're taking your family to go.
My kids are like, I can't wait to go to the Astros game. I'm like, yeah, we're going to go to a game for sure. And in my back of my mind, I'm just thinking, you're going to a Wade Miley game.
No, go to Zach Greinke. Going to see Greinke. Yes, kids. All right, let's take a break. Let's take one here. We got a lot to talk about. Deontay Foreman.
Oh,
how
yeah.
How about this? We got a lot to do here. We're just getting it started here on ESPN. I'm live in Green Bay. Lance and Dell back in the studio.
Oh, Brian Bogusevic.
ESPN.
Is going to join us at 7:46 to talk some Astros as well.
Oh, good. All right, we'll have that going on. In the meantime,
and in between time, how about I tell you about Men's Teeth Clinic? I'm headed there today. I'm a few days late. I'm like, I was out of town, so I told them that. They said, okay. And so what they'll do now is they will. I don't know how they'll handle it. They could give me an increased dosage, but I think what they're going to do is give me a lower dosage because I will come in a little earlier. They may just give me the same dosage I usually have, and then I'll just start coming in on Mondays instead of Thursdays when I used to come in, or where I usually come in. See, they make different alterations fitting your schedule. When you're a customer, they will, or a client, I guess it really is, they will make changes so that you are at your best. If you're in the middle of a testosterone treatment and you're not seeing the results that you were hoping to see, or they're not seeing the results they were hoping to see, they will increase the dosage, and they find that perfect level where you are at your very best. And that means transforming the belly fat into lean muscle mass. It means, you know, being quicker mentally and sharper. It means, you know, a spike in libido for some people who have lower libido, and it definitely means more energy. So make sure that you go to the professionals who make sure that they're fine-tuning you at all times. MensTClinic.com. 5 locations in the Houston area. MensTClinic.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Wow. MK Bauer just put this out. The Astros starters over their last 17 starts are 14-1 with a 1.79. Okay. It goes Greinke, Cole, Miley, Sanchez, Verlander over the next five. And then rinse and repeat. Holy crap.
I mean, the weakest is Sanchez. Well, yeah. Obviously.
Well, a guy who lost 13 straight games. Right, yeah. He's your weakest.
He's the weakest, but you just never know when King Strom is at it. And he had a gastrointestinal issue that sent him to the hospital, so he wasn't there at yesterday's game, Brent Strom. But it was just another reclamation project. I just can't even.
Well, I started this thing, too, with that thing about the most important people in the organization, and Jim Crane was one, and Jeff Luneau was two. But I would argue that Brent Strom is not far down that list.
Yeah, he's on the list of top 10.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Obviously the players are going to be higher.
Guys just change when they get here.
To say a pitching coach in the top 10 is insane.
Yes.
And yet,
but he's that big. He's that important.
And yet he really is. And some of it is the analytics of, you know, some of it is Jeff Luneau used to, we had a weekly show with Jeff Luneau, and he was talking about stuff that they had. And this was about Mark Appel. This is when we were talking about Mark Appel. So it was a while back. And he was talking about there were certain numbers. They moved him up from A to double A. And the thought was, oh, they're just trying not to, you know, look bad, because Mark Appel wasn't doing anything in A ball. And the Astros were mentioning something about having some technology, and it was what it was, a spin rate. What they had seen as a spin rate that they really, really liked. And so at the time we just thought, what is this? What kind of special tools and machines can you have that help you, you know, that say Mark Appel's ready for double A and have blah, blah, blah. It didn't make any sense at the time. It really didn't. We went to a lunch with Jeff Luneau when he was first hired, and there was like, I felt like there was nothing to talk to him about. Like, well, you got terrible players. You got no, it's just amazing at where they, at them going from that location where they were. When I'm sitting there having a lunch with all the other radio hosts from that station, and we're sitting there talking to Jeff Luneau, and it's just like, God, you guys suck. No one in Houston cares about you. You don't have good players other than George Springer in the minors and Jose Altuve, who's in the bigs, like, and John Singleton. You know, that was what our talk was. Man, you got John Singleton, Jose Altuve, and George Springer. That's all you have. Like, there's no one's talking about the Astros. This is awful. That was in, like, 13. That was in 13. Now, you're right. It feels like watching the Yankees. Everybody up and down the lineup is 290 or better. Breggers is 260 something. But my gosh, look at his home run totals and his OPS. Like, everybody's OPS. You compared, and by the way, Justin Verlander at game time was minus 480. That's the highest in Major League Baseball history yesterday.
minus 480.
He went from minus 460 to 480. I have never. What that means is you basically had to lay $500 to win $100. You had to lay $480. I have never in my entire life seen minus $480. I've never seen $400.
Well, they're just saying we just don't want any money on just please don't,
Seattle.
Just don't.
Do you know what Sanchez was? Sanchez had 13 straight losses and was minus 200.
No way.
I swear on everything. He was a 2-1 favorite with 13 straight losses. That tells you something about Seattle, but it also tells you how the Astros have been wrecking people with the offense. So I don't know. That's where that is.
All right. Okay. So just, we're catching up here on everything that went
real quick before Brian Bogusevic is going to come on in here in just a second. He's going to be calling us, but Deontay Foreman was cut by the Houston Texans. And I can't say this is a total surprise. When it happened, it's a surprise right now for it to happen. But, you know, just I know the team has had some issues with some potential work ethic. He hasn't always stayed in shape. He's been able to get in shape. And then there have been things where he just doesn't stay in shape. a huge bust, a third rounder. The Texans make a mid round pick that busts.
Another third rounder. Another third rounder that it can't. I mean, no team has missed on gotten less out of third rounders than the Houston Texans.
Well, second and third, if you really.
It's just ridiculous. It's nothing. Now, some people put out there, what an idiot organization, blah, 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 that you should have tried to trade him for draft picks. What exactly do you think you were going to get? I want to know what you possibly thought you were going to get for Deontay Foreman.
Oh, you mean the guy coming off Achilles?
Yeah.
Nothing.
That hadn't played? I mean, that had proven as much as I have in the NFL. I mean, honestly, what did you think you were going to get? Here's the thing. Bill O'Brien, last week with his soundbite talking about all the running backs, didn't mention him, talked about work ethic of other guys, and Deontay Foreman was out of the picture. Well, and then people said, well, there's no way they cut him. He just got to, you know, oh, there's a way that they cut him. This dude... this was all about work ethic, Lance.
Yep.
All about his that he just is not he just doesn't care, apparently.
No, he's had a hard time keeping his weight in check, staying in shape, like I said. I mean, if you're not bought in with your football character, it's just low football character. I've had two teams reach out to me like, hey, give me what's the deal on. So there's people poking around on him because he did have some talent coming out, but I know who doesn't have a low work ethic, and that's Texas Custom Patios. Stephen Schell and his company, high work ethic company. And it starts at the top, just like we talked about it with the baseball team. It starts at the top with any business. And Stephen is a guy who is very, very hands-on. He's also very, very particular about his work. So this is one of the reasons my wife is very particular about a lot of stuff. And I don't want to say she can be a pain in the ass, but she can potentially be a challenge for someone who is in the building business, in the contractor business. And when I talked to Steven and got a real feel for the company, I knew that he would be perfect because he is more specific and more direct even than my own wife. And so he made sure that everything is done the right way. He hires guys to work that way. And then on top of that, from the very beginning, the plans that he lays out are extremely well done. They're extremely clear. The clarity you get of what the project's going to take, how long it's going to take. He gives you an exact cost of what it's going to take. If they go over that, they end up footing the bill for it. And then the work that they do in a timely manner is just beyond anything else you're going to find. I mean, I've looked at other patio companies before then and since then, and it's really not even close. The best in Texas, and certainly the best in the city of Houston, is going to be Texas Custom Patios. Find out why they can get you dollar for dollar and sometimes beyond the money you spend when it comes time to sell your home and you have that great outdoor space. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Houston is all systems go.
We love our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State.
You know, John,
we're Texas proud, and we shout it.
The Houston loud. Astros are just. I think I saw that. No. Actually, they have more home runs right now than they had even in 2017. They're bombing them out of the stadium at very, very similar pace. Very, very similar pace. But I think they're like two or three more home runs now than they were in 2017 at this exact same time. And a guy who won the home run derby yesterday between, are you ready for this? Brandon Backey, starting pitcher, Brandon Backey. Uh-huh. You remember the Galveston Badass.
Yeah. Red meat.
We saw him at the casino when we were in Las Vegas, and he had a stack of $100 chips sky high because he was firing at the blackjack table. He was also easily tricked into betting more than he should have by just onlookers. You had Brian Bogusevic. You had Jeff Blum. And then Luke Scott, who I want to get to some things Luke Scott said on the broadcast yesterday. But the guy who won it all, who was bombing him out of the park, was Brian Bogusevic. And joining us right now is a man who knows a thing or two about professional baseball and knows about the Houston Astros and knows about going yard, and that is former Tulane Green Wave and draft pick of the Houston Astros, Brian Bogusevic. Brian, thanks for joining the show. We appreciate it.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
So what was it like? So it was interesting listening to Jeff Blum talk about how hard it was to, and they were ranting and raving, he and Luke Scott, about you. What did you end up with, like 11 bombs out of there?
Yeah, I think first round was 11, second round was 13 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Second round was easier than the first round after I kind of got rolling a little bit.
How was it easier? You weren't fatigued? Blum was talking about how well, how old are you right now, Brian?
35.
Okay, well, you're old enough to get tired.
Years, yeah, I'm a couple years younger than those guys.
So Blum was just talking about how, man, he doesn't know how the younger players in the home run derby are able to keep up that pace because of how, you know, fatiguing it is to swing for the fences like that.
Yeah. And did the Astros misuse you because you're such a power hitter and you should have been hitting cleanup and hitting bombs?
No, they certainly didn't misuse me. I think my power was best kept in batting practice like it was yesterday. But no, hitting for time is difficult. Like, usually we're everybody's used to hitting for number of swings. All right, I'll take a round of 5, round of 8, round of 10, whatever. Hitting for time is like exhausting, and nobody ever does it. I actually that's how they take batting practice in Japan. I played a year in Japan, and you take batting practice for time. So I at least have done it before.
What was it like playing in Japan?
It's interesting. It was a really cool experience. I enjoyed living over there. Baseball over there is played much differently. They're very serious. They don't like to have a lot of fun, and it's just business, business, business.
My buddy Chad Huffman played over there for a couple of years. He was like Superman. He's you know, so much bigger than everybody else, and he was hitting bombs, and they loved him over there. But he said you would work out, and then at the end you would be running sprints. And he'd be like, what the hell? What are we doing? They would have 5-hour practices.
It's crazy. The spring training days there, luckily, the team that we were on in spring training, they would let the foreign players leave early. So we would put in what I thought was a full day, you know, 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. And we'd be gone back to the hotel, and the other guys, they'd just be starting their second practice of the day. And after games, they bring bats back to the hotel, and they take dry swings in the basement of the hotel and stuff. They're on a different level of work over there.
Yeah, it's hard for the American players to adjust to it. They're like, this is not how we do it. No, we don't. You know, we need rest. Right.
Yeah. No. And there's still a handful of teams over there that make their foreign players go through the full practices, like the Japanese players, and most of them end up getting hurt or just being miserable.
So tell us about what's your view. John and I were talking about the fact that this is like, you know, I'm a lifelong Houstonian. I've cheered for some good teams. I've cheered for a few great teams, not a ton, but a few great teams. This is the first time in my lifetime that I have cheered for a team that I would consider like a Yankees type team, a team where you just say, holy crap, this is a wealth of riches all over the place.
Yeah, it's incredible what they've put together, and what they've put together through the farm system, through acquisitions, and now when they're really in, you know, go for it mode, what they've done, what Jeff Luhnow has been able to put together with deals, and what Jim Crane has signed off on has been, I mean, you knew he would spend, but what he's been willing to do is great. And I would almost argue that they're almost in a better position than some of those Yankees teams, because they're getting all these, like, everybody's in their prime, or some of these guys are even about to enter their prime when you're talking about guys like Bregman and Alvarez. Some of those Yankees teams, you know, they put together completely through free agency. They were getting guys on the backside of their careers. But, yeah, I mean, they're certainly have to be heavy, heavy favorites in at least the American League, if not, you know, to win the World Series. But it's going to be really fun. The way the schedule is set up for them for the end of the season, combined with the division lead they have, they're going to be able to set themselves up pretty well to hit the ground running for the playoffs.
And look at Luhnow, and you talk about the Yankees, and they just, their farm system be damned. We don't care about that. We want to win. Jeff Luhnow refused to give up Forrest Whitley. He refused to give up Kyle Tucker. He said, no, we're not doing that. And yet he was still able to get the job done. But he did give up some guys now. I don't know how familiar you are with Bukauskas and Rojas.
Three, 4, and 5 in the organization he gave up.
And this is a good minor league organization. But trades have to hurt, don't they?
No, they certainly do. But you also have a team at the big league level that has a window that goes beyond this year. So it doesn't hurt as bad. But, usually when teams build farm systems, especially through a rebuild process, they do it either in volume of just accumulating a ton of prospects, or they do it at the high end, guys like Whitley and Tucker. And the fact that they've been able to do both, first of all, is impressive, but second of all, it's allowed them to do things like this and pull from the depth to make trades, but also keep the high end talent. Most organizations aren't able to do both, and they kind of have to pick and choose. But I mean, they've just done an incredible job of building from within and then leveraging that to going out and getting guys for the big league team.
One question about Tucker. You know, this year, look at all the guys and all the injuries that they had. Brian Bogusevic with us, by the way, here on ESPN 97.5. But they brought up Miles Straw. They brought up Jordan. They brought up Fisher. They brought up, it seemed like Kemp was here. All, it's guy after guy after guy. And Kyle Tucker wasn't. But baseball can be a little bit different in that you worry about options and other stuff as well. But where is Kyle Tucker if all of these guys have come up and he wasn't called up?
Yeah, I think the fact that he was deemed untouchable in this trade process speaks to where he stands in the organization. It's easy to think that he got passed over because other guys were coming up. But really, if you look at it, those other guys were coming up and they're not really playing. I mean, you have a guy like Kyle Tucker, whose development is most important right now, bringing him up for, 6 or 8 weeks to sit the bench and maybe get 30 or 40 at bats isn't beneficial to him in the long term. And it isn't beneficial to the organization in the long term. He's had a really nice year at AAA. It looks like he's taken, a step forward towards becoming a more consistent player, which is what he needs to be at the big league level. That's just, he's had too many ups and downs. But I don't think he's been overlooked. I don't think he's been, leapfrogged by anybody. I think they're just keeping him on track to when he gets here being an everyday player.
What are your thoughts on do you think too much is made about the Astros pitching coach, Brent Strom? Because I don't even know if you even know what a big deal, but with fans, with media personalities, et cetera, and with John, with me, I mean, I was doing the same thing 2 or 3 years ago when you realize, holy crap, these guys are, Brent Strom. It was kind of a joke, like Brent Strom is about, and then you just realize Brent Strom just has the magic touch. And I don't, but then again, these are still big league pitchers who have stuff. So I don't want to, Charlie Morton had great stuff. Sanchez had some really good stuff a few years ago. So these are, do you think too much is made of the pitching coach, or maybe enough is made about this really good one?
Yeah, no, I don't think you can say too much about Brent Strom. Just the track record that he has over the last, whatever it's been, 6, 7 seasons that he's been here speaks for itself. And you're absolutely right that the guys they bring in, they target guys through the scouting department with stuff. That's what all this TrackMan StatCast information with spin rate and all that, that's identifying stuff. So they bring in stuff, guys, and then Brent Strom and the rest of the baseball ops department, they develop plans and they tweak things, and they're not overhauling mechanics and they're not teaching guys new pitches. They're just tweaking things, tightening things up. So it's a combination of both, but what he's been able to do with so many different guys, I don't think you can say it enough. And it's great because then they have the ability to bring guys in on small short-term contracts like a Wade Miley and get a ton of production out of him. And that saves payroll and it saves flexibility. So I think he gets a lot of credit and deservedly so.
Brian Bogusevic with us here on ESPN 97.5. Where are you on this bullpen, and specifically at the end of the bullpen? Is Osuna... Is Osuna somebody that you want to close out a World Series game seven? Is that guy going to be able to handle that situation?
Yes. I think that he's perfectly capable. I think that he is unflappable. It's tough. A closer's job is really difficult because their job is to end the game with the team winning. And it's not to not give up runs. It's not to not give up hits. So, you know, he has games where he comes out and gives up some hits and maybe a couple runs. But more often than not, those are games where they have a three-run lead or a two-run lead coming into his outing. And he ends up closing the game out with a win. So I don't know that sometimes him giving up a few runs and a few hits is a bad sign. I think it's more just him trying to get through the outing quickly and conserve pitches to be available for the next day because he tightens up when he has to. So in a one-run game and a must-win game, I'm good with Osuna.
How about the other? How about the rest of it?
Presley is healthy.
Right.
I mean, we've seen what that is. Joe Smith's looked really good. Will Harris, I mean, he's having a career year for a guy that's put together a really good year.
But he always falls off. He always falls off at the end of the year, along with Davinsky. They fall off in September and October.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, to be determined. The benefit that the Astros have this year with the cushion that they have is these guys who have been used heavily and these guys at the back end of the bullpen have been used very heavily throughout the year, they're going to be able to get rest. They're going to be able to keep them fresh because they've got the division wrapped up. You know, you want home field advantage, but really a healthy team at this point is more important than a game seven at home, I would think. So I think AJ will have the ability to keep guys fresh, and they've got a couple guys coming off the DL who are looking to be contributors in that bullpen as well. So I think the bullpen's in great shape. Josh James is going to come off the disabled list with, you know, basically a 2 month break and he'll be fresh. So there's going to be a lot of weapons and a lot of guys who have really nice seasons.
Brian Bogusevic doing a nice job on the, how do you like doing the postgame?
Oh, I enjoy it. I like coming out, hanging out, getting down on the field, talking to guys, watching the games. Talking on TV is not the easiest thing in the world, I learned. But,
yeah.
No, I really like it. It's fun.
So Lance Berkman was in studio with me last week while Lance was gone. And during a break, I said, so have you talked to Justin Verlander about something? And he goes, I don't really go up to Justin Verlander too much and talk to him if you want to know the truth. Have you gone up and said, hey, Justin, what are you doing? How are you doing today?
No, I've not talked to him. First of all, I don't really know him. I've played against him, but I don't really know him. But when we're down there, we're down in the dugout talking to AJ when he's doing his media availability. Most guys who are coming in and out of the dugout have somewhere that they need to be, so they're kind of in a hurry. I talk to guys that I know, talk to some of the guys that I played with, but no, not, you know, BS with Verlander too much.
I know, it's just, well, and oh, by the way, and I was like, you're Lance Berkman, you can go up to Justin Verlander whenever you want. Not really. Not really.
Yeah, and if Berkman...
Unwritten rules.
Right.
yeah.
That's Brian Bogusevic. Hey, man, we appreciate you being here. Great stuff and continued success. Hope you get more games on the postgame.
Let's get you on as we head down the stretch.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
What do you guys want?
Brian Bogusevic right here on ESPN 97.5. Time for me right now. I got to talk about Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. You're somebody that needs to upgrade, okay? And you've been putting it off. You maybe have heard me talk about this before, and you're like, yeah, you know, we probably should be doing something with our house. You're not going to resell it. You've got to upgrade. The counter, I'm telling you, I just saw, as a matter of fact, the pictures I hadn't seen. They redid my mom's house after she passed, and they redid it, and my brother sold it and everything. And the difference that it makes with new countertops is unbelievable. I was like, that's my where I grew up, wow, it doesn't even look close to it. But it, the kitchen will spark. I mean, everything. It looks better with granite, with the marble countertops. It just looks better. And if you're somebody, if your house needs this, if your business needs this, that's what Jeff Aronoff does every day. You will benefit from, and you will benefit monetarily from. If you're going to sell it, you've got to upgrade. You have to. And Jeff Aronoff does this, and he makes places. He looks. He makes your backyard with the outdoor kitchen and the patio, and he makes it look like $1 million. You want that $1 million when you're trying to sell it? Okay, I'm guaranteeing you. All you got to do is call Jeff Aronoff. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. We'll give you 20% off because you're an ESPN 97.5 listener. 713-880-2822.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.